This episode of the Fastest Known Podcast is brought to you by Koros. Wearables from Koros help you explore perfection by offering the longest battery life in its class for each of its watch models. For example, in full GPS mode, you get 60 hours of battery life. That's as much as the current FKT on Nolan's 14. Or track in ultra mode to get an astonishing 150 hours of battery life, enough to get an FKT on Vermont's Long Trail and then some. Koros is proudly worn by many great runners, including Camille Herron, Timothy Olsen, Hayden Hawks, Magdalena Boulay, and many others. Track your next FKT with a watch from Koros. Visit koros.com, C-O-R-O-S.com.
The challenges are massive being an athlete couple, rather that's professional or recreational, balancing time, balancing schedule, figuring out projects to do, where our tensions lie. And as a professional couple, we have to figure out, you know, what's best for the business of each one of us and as a business of us together.
Welcome back to the Fastest Known Podcast. That was Jason Schlarb, and I'm here with Jason and Meredith Edwards, a.k.a. Mare June. Welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here, Buzz.
And that was a great introduction by Jason. We're going to talk a little bit about couples. What's it like to be a couple and to be an athlete? I mean, how does that work? Well, these two know a little bit about that. They're just coming back from Oman, where Meredith was third in an Ultra World Tour.
Oh, second.
No, she got second by 6 minutes.
You're listed as third under Ultra Signup. I thought you were second
also. Well, last year I was third.
This is the second. The Ultra Signup didn't update. It's only been a week.
Okay, there yeah. We go. Second in Oman. And they're beating the Colorado winter storm, driving back to their home in Durango. So thanks for coming by.
It's great to be here, Buzz.
Well, Jason, you're a little better known right now because you've been ultra running for a long time. 2010, your results start. And you've been in Europe. You've done many Ultra World Tour races. You've been a Run Rabbit Run multiple winner. UTMB three times, including fourth place. And maybe your best ultra result is 2016, where you and some guy named Killian came across the finish line tied for first place at the Hard Rock 100. So strong ultra background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a journey.
And you've joined forces with Meredith, and your background is strong skimo orientation. You're a good skier and also a good ultra runner.
Yeah, I, before I moved to Durango to be with this wildcat, I was living in Jackson, Wyoming for 10 years, and I have a really strong ski background because I started skiing when I was two.
Two?
I was two. I got kicked out of a daycare up at Stratton, and my parents had you get off the chairlift, and it says, well, Mr. and Mrs. Edwards, please report to daycare. And my dad was really mad because I was throwing a fit.
And so he's the wildcat.
Yeah, probably we're probably equals on that one. But I started skiing. My dad said, okay, fine, you're going to ski. So I started when I was two. And then I found out actually this past week I was four. I started racing when I was around four. I don't remember that, but my mom sent me an article from the newspaper that apparently I did pretty well at four. And then I ski raced up until I was 18.
Nice.
So I come from a really big ski family. My dad was, he's a PSIA level 3 instructor and was also my race coach. My sister raced in college for Penn State, and she moved out west when she got out of school, and my dad took me to Jackson Hole back in 2005, and I never left until I moved to Durango.
Wow, that's a great story. That really progresses very well. Now, Durango, you two, as we start off by saying, are a couple. You're nesting down there while at the same time traveling the world.
Right.
So this brings up some interesting challenges. As Jason mentioned in his introduction, you're both professional, which means we have contracts and you have sponsors because, you know, you're not doing the 8-to-5 job. You need the sponsorship to keep doing what you're doing. And yet you almost need the same sponsors to mm-hmm. make this work, don't you?
Yeah, so...
Makes it a lot easier, that's for sure.
So I had a lot of different sponsors when I met Jason, and when we decided that we were going to take our relationship, I guess, serious, it was like, okay, well, we want to do projects together, but, you know, the challenge was we had two different sponsors, and, you know, when you go to do projects, that creates a big issue. And so slowly... we kind of merged not only our professional careers together, but our personal lives together in that way.
You almost mm-hmm. have to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, we do, and it was a pretty natural thing to do. I think it wasn't too crazy. It felt right, and it was easy. Let's just put it that way. It was pretty easy for us to brand ourselves together, and you know, we do have a unique. We have a unique thing to offer to a lot of different brands because they have us as individuals, but then they have us as a couple, and that's not mm-hmm. always the case.
Jason and I go back a number of years. I remember Tardes de Piney. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Then you later went to Dolomites, but Piney, I think, was 2014. Mm-hmm. You got an FKT on the Cerquito, mm-hmm. and then you kept going after that, and you've continued to do video projects, I think, every mm-hmm. year. And now you two are combining, so you'll both be in each of these videos. And like Meredith just said, it's a better look in a way, and people can sort of relate to it.
It's a lot more fun, too.
Oh, there
you go. And, you know, to go out, and I will always appreciate the race, but to go and have the travel experience, to go and play, to make an objective, and to go do something together, because, I mean, when we race, we're not... necessarily running together.
I mean,
we get to go do something fun afterwards or something like that.
The funny thing, Buzz,
before and after,
is we're both ultra runners, but we don't really run a whole lot together.
Okay.
A lot of people assume that, oh, you're a couple, do you guys run together? And it's like, no way. Jason is obviously in a whole nother level of running than I am. But, you know, before I met Jason, I was doing a lot of this on my own. I was traveling alone. And there is an empty feeling, you know, I won't forget at TDS, and I was, you know, I remember crossing the finish line, and I was like, this is so amazing, but I had no one to really celebrate it with. And there's...
Instagram is not the same thing.
No, it's not. And so, like, it was really interesting. And, you know, I always dated other athletes, but, you know, they were always skiers or climbers. But it's really special when you get to share your sport with somebody else and get to have them there and have that level of understanding of what it is you're going through and training and the life that you sacrifice for this sport. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, ultra running is, you know, it's not just running the miles. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Right. But unlike having a training buddy, the relationship, you know, your partner is both wonderful and super, super, super challenging.
Oh, it's stressful sometimes. It's really stressful.
I thought we were just going to talk about the hunky-dory thing.
No, there's...
Let's talk about the shitty part.
Yeah, there's some shitty parts. Like, you know, this summer I was injured, and I couldn't run. And here's Jason just absolutely killing it. And I'm so happy for him, and I'm so proud of him. But then I have this insecurity like, oh my gosh, Jason's so good. And
this is Meredith's job.
And I'm not doing anything. Yeah. Like, I'm just laying in bed here, like, watching him get to do everything. And it's frustrating, and it's complicated. And you feel like you're a nobody. Like, I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be like Jason Schlarb, you know? And that is really hard. And as much as you can love that person and support that person, it highlights the insecurities of, well, what am I doing with my career, you mm-hmm. know? And am I somebody without him?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be challenging.
And Meredith, you don't walk away from it. You walk home to it.
You don't get a break from it. Yep. And you know, here's a good thing. I worked in mental health for 10 years before I decided to become a pro athlete. So I learned a lot of things about, you know, self-care and emotional regulation. Well, as ultra runners and professional athletes, you're never emotionally regulated because we're constantly, you know, breaking ourselves down every day. And you can't be the best person that you can be when you're emotionally fatigued, physically fatigued, really, really hungry, really, really tired. And so when you take two athletes who are like pushing themselves and put them into that situation, Jason and I don't always show up as the best person for each other because we're compromised. And then, you know, how does that affect our relationship? Well, it compromises the relationship. And so we really have to be proactive as, you know, to figure out what's that balance and how do we help that other person. But you know what? We're human and sometimes we're really tired and we're really hungry and we snap. And but the good thing is we do work by it. We work through it pretty fast. But those challenges are very real in our relationship.
They're extra intense for Meredith and I because we both have sometimes couples are really opposite and they, you know, do well together. Meredith and I have a lot of similarities and some of our edge and competitiveness and intensity comes to a head frequently. And then you put that on top of the fact that we live in a cabin 13 miles outside of city limits. We don't have a regular job. And we are together
24/7
damn day. We'd run the same races. And then even with Oman, I wasn't even racing. I'm right there. So it's massively high highs, and then we can piss each other off so well. And there's no escaping.
There's no escaping. Well, this is fantastic. So from the outside looking in, as Jason said a few minutes ago, it's more fun. I mean, you're out there, you're doing things together.
Yeah.
And then as Meredith said, you can share these highs. You know, you do well at a race, you see the sunrise, and you got someone right there you can share it with.
Right.
And yet the other side that people might not see very much is that you can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought what you said was very interesting, Meredith, that particularly as ultra runners, you're tired.
Yeah.
You're beat. You're hungry. You're thirsty, et cetera, et cetera. So you're not going to walk home to your primary relationship feeling great. Like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll do the dishes. You know, the two of you might be on edge.
Totally. I mean, it's an emotional, physical compromise. And anytime you have that, it's going to stress other parts in your life, whether it's your job, your relationship, or, you know, your friends, anything. But we live in that. And we constantly live in that. And it's funny because I guess we'll be together 3 years in May. And
meeting at a race, we go up to 18,000 feet, just a little background.
In China. We met in China.
Oh, you met in China.
Okay. Yeah. But it's the relationship I never take for granted because there's a lot of depth in our relationship and it keeps growing and growing and growing. And that's something I can't get from anybody else, or I haven't experienced this type of relationship with anybody else. And so, you know, there's a lot of love and trust on that feeling that we have, I think, for one another, even though we go through these highs and these lows, but we always work through it and come back. But, you know, sometimes I'm screaming at Jason.
This is the Valentine's Day episode.
But, you know, yeah. But don't get me wrong. I mean, he can push my buttons more than anybody in the world. I mean, I can yell at him and then I got to leave the house. So I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to leave. I just got to go. And my car broke this past year, so I don't have a car to get away. We have one car.
One car, 13 miles outside of town, living in a log cabin in the mountains.
Yes.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Our neighbors must think we're crazy.
It should be a reality show.
Run around the world 24/7.
24/7. Well, something I'm getting right here and right now is two things. First, you immediately are happy to talk about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have some issues, things come up, it might get tense, but you two just came right out shamelessly and just aired it all right out.
Yeah.
And that's, as a mental health professional, you're quite aware, that is one of the ways to do it.
Well, you have to talk about it. And I don't, you know, I take a lot of pride in, you know, Instagram creates this like perfect world. And I try to be really as transparent as possible with Instagram because I just want people to know, like, my life sounds awesome, but it's still hard. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still very hard. There's still challenge there. And, you know, other challenges where maybe people don't, especially with our relationship. I mean, we definitely put our relationship on the line because of what we do and how we've now packaged ourselves. You know, some people may not do that with their relationship and say that means too much to me to risk this, but we put it all out there.
You're all in.
I'm all in, and I'm okay with that. And I think
we're like eight episodes into our film series. It's daunting at times, but it's also like an engagement ring.
Wow. Oh my God. Well, you heard here first.
Oh, wow.
On Fastest Known Podcast.
Wow. Okay. We are putting it all out there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And the other thing I heard, besides the willingness to talk about, the eagerness almost to talk about, mm-hmm. and the necessity to talk about it, is you both are laughing at the same time, mm-hmm. which again, as science indicates, is very healthy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. We know each other pretty well. Mm-hmm. I still think I have never hung out with somebody in my life more than Jason, even my best friends growing up. I think he's seen more than me than anybody else has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting to even look back and think about where we were. And like I mentioned, this episode thing and the run around the world, like, you know, go back and think about what episode one and two were like, not so much like what we were doing, but our relationship and how we have developed and seeing like, oh my God, I remember how difficult it was after this race or that episode or doing this. And it's just really kind of crazy. It's a weird, it's not a typical athlete experience, I don't think, for most anybody.
No, Meredith and Jason, that's a good call out, which I hadn't really thought about before. You are truly all in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that you're cohabitating 13 miles out in the middle of the woods, but also professionally, you have signed
and our passions.
Yeah,
hobbies, everything. I mean, is all together.
Pardon me for pointing this out, but if something went wrong, everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that stress is real too, because I mean, I've picked up and I've moved from a place that I loved and had roots and everything to be with Jason, and you know, I think Jason has put everything that he has on the line. I mean, and then we also have Jason's son. I mean, that's mm-hmm. we have him, so Felix is with us half the time. He's mm-hmm. a 50-50 split. And so we have really interesting, unique dynamics because there's us together and then there's us with Felix.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Don't regret a second of it. It's nice. Fantastic.
Well, we're going to put a link to your, what's it called?
Run Around the World.
Run Around the World. We'll mm-hmm. put a link to that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a particular URL where people can track all this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
Cool.
So listeners, go on the show notes and you can find out. And you're at episode 8 now, is that right?
Yeah, we have done 6. UTMB was the last episode, but I've gone since to the Copper Cans, Mexico. And then, that's where we are right now.
Okay, good. And will episode 9 be the home life episode where...
Well, we've
not sure.
Breakfast together.
Yeah.
We did Colorado as number 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We were in the San Juans going skiing in July and running around, as you know, this summer. We did one of those and introduced our little dog Snuffles and Felix, and so that was a really good episode.
Gotcha. I don't think we know exactly what we.
Yeah.
We have TDS that will be an episode that I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running Valdran by UTMB in the Pyrenees. Mm-hmm. That will be an episode, and then we have some other ideas, but we don't have everything.
There's going to be a girls episode.
Yeah, a girls episode.
Where Meredith goes and runs with some of the ladies of our sport. Mm-hmm. I guess does something cool, maybe in the mountains, maybe around Hard Rock or in the Tetons. We'll see.
People will look forward to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, what thoughts would you have for someone else on the relationship end of things? I mean, because like you said, there's the ups and the good and the bad,
mm-hmm.
or I should say the challenges and the advantages mm-hmm. of being a couple. Here's, let me back this up even further. Sometimes when I'm out there and you see couples out hiking, running, climbing, etc., Sometimes it looks like they're not having a good time.
Sometimes it's known that they're not arguing or something or having a big fight or something.
And yeah, so it's, this is the context I'd like to just put here on the table. I've noticed this for decades. Mm-hmm. So I've been with a few women, and oftentimes we did not do things like that together.
Mm-hmm.
We did other things together. And so I see this and I'm like, I bet she would be happy with her lady friends. I bet he would be happy with his guy friends.
Yeah.
Now, you two are doing more things together. So this is an interesting dynamic. It's sort of a touchy subject because in today's age, it's like assumed that people do everything together.
Right.
Well, throughout history, that wasn't really the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to be brutally honest with our relationship, one thing that we do is we actually have we have couples therapy together.
Good.
We're really proactive about that. Not because our relationship is awful or we're going to break up, but we do it as a means to be proactive because we realize what we have is unique and special. And we want to preserve that, but also make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And so since we've actually been doing that, it's our relationship has gotten a lot better. And, you know, people think, oh, you're in therapy. That's bad. Well, no, we're just being healthy about our relationship and wanting it to be the best that it can be. And so that is one thing that we definitely do to keep this going and for it to be healthy, not, you know, a toxic environment for us because we are very invested, obviously.
I'd like to just pause here for a second. That could be one of the most important things I've heard all morning today. Everyone does massage therapy, couples therapy. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just increasing.
It's a maintenance.
You're increasing your health. And so I'm really glad that you mentioned that. So I just wanted to pause here for a second and call that out. There should be zero stigma about any type of mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the opposite. It should be considered, should be recognized as being positive for the person and positive for their friends and their family.
Yeah. But it is also difficult to make that first step and trust somebody to open up to. And I think particularly guys, oftentimes being generalizing, but that masculine kind of presence doesn't like to sit down with somebody and share that kind of intimacy. It's you know, not to sugarcoat that, oh, just do the counseling, because it is difficult. It is difficult sometimes for particular kind of people and stuff.
Good point. I think that I would tend to agree, generally speaking, that males are a little more reluctant on that end.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as they are oftentimes reluctant to talk about feelings and emotions and be in a, you know,
right,
in sync with that.
Right.
To bring in a third person, you know, that can be a challenge.
Well, we just brought in a couple thousand people here.
Yeah. I am unbelievably ready.
No, but Jason's really good at doing that and being a participant of it. And I guess, you know, for us,
I'm also 41.
Yeah, he's learned some
stuff. I'm not 22. I'm not 28, 35. I mean, there's so many different seasons that I've gone through.
So Meredith got you at the right time.
Yeah.
We joke that we would never be able to be together if I met him in his 20s. I was like, no way. And that, there's some truth.
Yeah. Understanding myself, selflessness, because I keep thinking that as we're talking about that ability when you're with somebody else, especially as a go-getter, mountain running, you know, just intense person that is willing to go do ultra marathon kind of distance, you know, just to be able to have that, you know, that perspective of being able to, you know, say, okay, I need to slow down and think about somebody else. I need to slow down and think about, you know, not just accomplishing the objective, win, go hard, kick the ass, you know, that was a big transition for me in life, in being able to not be so damn pushy and going 150 miles an hour every second, you know, to be like, okay, you know what, getting up to that peak and going that far, you know, etc. Maybe it's more important that I think about what Meredith or the other person wants, or, you know, not just as, you know, that's an analogy,
right?
You know,
Right. That's good. Thank you. I'm glad to hear
this
that.
This is such the relationship episode.
Well, I need to hear
this
that.
This is awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. You
said, man. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, as professional athletes, it doesn't matter what sport you do, but we're very self-centered people and we have very selfish pursuits. And so when you put two selfish people together,
exactly,
there's yep. going to be some conflict. And, you know, because Jason, you know, I'm 35, he's 41. So there's a six year gap. But
which means you're about equally mature.
Yeah, probably. But because Jason has learned like some of these selfless lessons, I maybe have not. And so, you know, he's been teaching me how to like, hey, you can't be like this. Like today I should have probably got a granola bar when I got mine. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Like, but,
well,
but
also, I mean, I started and have been a professional at the ultra sport, you know, since 2012-ish or yeah. something like that. So it's a little bit easier to sit in that position. Meredith freshly left her career, left her home, and now is, you know, have this, everything's based on, you know, even if we don't really want it to be, you know, a lot of self-worth is tied up in that. And so to be able to be a mentor and a partner is a big role that I can help.
Great.
Gradually and gently.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, yeah, so it's kind of interesting. Like, there's still, like, I'm learning from him on some of this stuff, and then we're learning together, and then just trying to, you know, I mean, running isn't everything at the end of the day, you know.
It's not?
No, it's not. I mean,
all right.
I mean, at the end of the day, if we could never race again, but we had our relationship and we could still be in the mountains and do what we do, then we're, mm-hmm. I would say we're still really happy yeah. people.
It wouldn't have to be professional. It could just be outside playing. Even if it wasn't as high and far and getting as much attention and all that, you know, that's not the important.
Gotcha. Okay, that's a fantastic perspective. And that's interesting. Is there a trade-off, you think, as professionals between that go hard, you know, pedal to the metal, mm-hmm. and having a little broader perspective, mm-hmm. such as, well, running isn't everything and my relationship is actually more important because it'll make me more happier in the long mm-hmm. run. Mm-hmm. But do you ever think, does this influence or negatively impact my performance? Do you ever kind of go back to that?
Yeah.
I just got to put the hammer down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sometimes worry. I mean, I felt really guilty for Jason's UTMB because I felt like he didn't run well because I was putting stress on him with our relationship or my sickness and this, mm-hmm. that. I sometimes worry like, oh my gosh, are we, you know, is he affecting me and like I can't, you know, train, or am I affecting him and he can't perform at his race? And like, I think those are true. I think they do have an impact at times.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it wouldn't be any different if I wasn't in the running world and I was just his mm-hmm. girlfriend. There'd still be that stress. But
if I was, you know, not happy and not in a relationship that I wanted to be in, I don't think my overall wholeness would be in such a position that I could compete as well. Mm. And the other aspect or angle that I would bring up too is that we, good or bad, it's not all about results now. You know, there's this whole influencer side. It's kind of ugly and weird in some ways, but it also creates an opportunity for me to not, or Meredith to not go win a race, but be an amazing role model, an amazing inspirational person, an amazing person that, you know, you want to emulate or want to know about or see what they're doing or you know. So with these films, with these projects, with these, like, you know, go out and try to run a mountain and not run the fastest known time or not, you know, be the best in the world. It's kind of a cool avenue. And maybe that kind of brings a little bit of the pressure off of that professional athlete in some ways, especially as I get old, right?
Especially. That's a fascinating insight, Jason. Yeah. Influencer is a loaded word now. It's literally used for listeners who might not be aware of it. In the profession, it's used a lot. Mm-hmm. Marketing people use it all the time. What does that mean? That's being defined. Mm-hmm. And so I think some people get irked. You know, we have on this podcast, I'll just mention names. Darcy, mm-hmm. you know, is one of the best ultra runners in the world.
Mm-hmm. Role model to Meredith as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big I love time. Darcy.
Well, everybody does.
Yes.
But she's not big on social media.
Correct, yeah.
And for the runners, I mean, she's like fantastic, very well respected, but not big on social media. And so she felt that she sometimes doesn't get sponsorship support because of that.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the negative aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But the positive aspect, Jason, that was very insightful. Mm-hmm. It's also an opportunity that it's not about the number.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your values.
Mm-hmm.
And like mentioning the importance of mental health, that's a strong value that people need to hear. That's mm-hmm. a good example right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also notice, particularly in the world of running, we've opened it up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the top runners anymore.
More than the results.
It's people of all ages, all genders, and all body shapes and sizes now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it just brings in that we're all human. I mean, it's a human factor. And so mm-hmm. whether you're the best in the world or you're middle of the pack or you're at the end of the pack, it's always amazing what we do because we're all athletes, like you said. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't matter where you place. But it's putting value on that person who, okay, maybe they're not going to go out and win, you know, UTMB. But they still have a story and they still have something to give to basically anybody. I mean, I think some of the most inspiring athletes are those middle of the packers, you know, or the people that just finish the race.
Absolutely.
And they have something to tell, and it doesn't take away their value as a runner because of where they placed. And so I think as we move into this importance of that, it also opens the door for an elite athletes to also say, well, I'm also human. And mm-hmm. this is what I've struggled with, because I think at times we tend to glorify a lot of athletes in our sport thinking, oh, they never have anything wrong with them, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. And this is like a way of doing that. It opens up a lot of doors.
I would hope that in the future, the best person that's also an amazing athlete can be the professional athlete. Some people might be like, you know what, I don't want to have that responsibility. I don't want to be the storyteller. I don't want to open up my whole life. I just want to be a professional and give me the contract and move forward. You know, there's good and bad of that. It's a new reality. It's kind of a funky deal. I think our videos is one of my favorite avenues for that, because I love to travel. I love to explore. I love to eat the interesting food that is in Madeira or Reunion Island or in Chamonix.
In China.
And to capture that or the hot pot in China. So like to have that available as a way for my profession to thrive, that's exciting to me. That's really cool.
All right. Open up opportunities. You two have seen opportunities and you've opened up to them. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
As you've said, with your relationship and your profession, you're mm-hmm. evolving it.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So where might it evolve next? This is the Fastest Known Podcast.
There's some exciting plans we've got.
Okay.
You know, There's one, I kind of hesitate to bring it up because...
Everybody hesitates to bring it up. Some won't even mention it. Some people get a project.
But it's for different reasons too, because there are projects that are really big that just maybe sometimes shouldn't be talked about because it's the likelihood might not be great, but what the hell. I love you, Buzz, and I like the people that follow you. So we're actually, you know, looking to maybe go to Africa. And to go do something maybe in the Republic of Congo, Uganda area, and go and see these tribesmen that were former poachers that have decided to take a different route and take people around in these mountains and go up some 19,000 foot level peaks and try to go for a fastest known time. There's an active volcano out there, and Meredith and I want to go there and tell a story about this.
Wow, that's different.
Yeah.
That's great. So
in February.
Oh.
So we don't have very much time. So any sponsors listening, get excited. This is going to be awesome. We really want to do this.
Well, it's Africa. What a fascinating paradox, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
The best.
It's not just Kilimanjaro either.
Right.
There's so much crazy stuff in that area. Yeah. And this is not the first time we've brainstormed for this region.
Yeah.
So hopefully something happens with this. If not, we're still going to do something really fun anyways.
Well, if not, we'll still have you back on the podcast.
Deal. Thank you.
Perfect.
Well, FKT's there.
That's great. What we'd be shooting for.
Africa. There's a lot of room to maneuver in Africa.
Yeah.
And I should note that we're still getting three submissions per day now. So now it's coming in hot and heavy from Australia.
Yeah.
So people should definitely go on the website and check it out. The page also shows FKTs we're tracking now. You get a quick glimpse there. Mm-hmm. And definitely, if you're enjoying this, consider giving a little donation. I've just got to put that out there. Become a Patreon subscriber, just kicking a little something. Because we appreciate doing this. We have a really good time. And there's not a lot of money in fastest known podcasts right now. So appreciate any support people might want to give.
Yeah, do it.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to hearing what comes up next here, Africa. Come to think of it, when was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had two submissions from Namibia.
Wow.
Cool.
So stuff.
Wow, that's really cool. Awesome.
Yeah. FKTs are definitely worldwide, but I think you're going to be going for the first in this area. I don't remember anything there.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully we're lucky.
Yeah, that experience and that challenge would be fantastic. That's number one on my radar. So if we don't do it this year, we're going to get there sometime.
Okay. Well, drive safely on your way back to Durango.
Thank you.
Thanks, Buzz, for having us.